اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. يبصرونهم يود المجرم لو يفتدي من عذاب يومئذ ببنيه وصاحبته وأخيه وفصيلته التي تؤويه ومن في الأرض جميعا ثم ينجيه. كلا نزاعة للشوى تدعو من أدبر وتولى وجمع فأوعى. إن الإنسان خلق هلوعا إذا مسه الشر جزوعا وإذا مسه الخير منوعا إن الإنسان خلق هلوعا إذا مسه الشر جزوعا وإذا مسه الخير منوعا إلا المصلين. الذين هم على صلاتهم دائمون والذين في أموالهم حق للسائل والمحروم والذين يصدقون بيوم الدين والذين هم من عذاب ربهم مشفقون إن عذاب ربهم غير مأمون والذين هم لفروجهم حافظون إلا على أزواجهم إلا إلا على أزواجهم أو ما ملكت أيمانهم فإنهم غير ملومين فمن ابتغى وراء ذلك فأولئك هم العادون والذين هم لأماناتهم وعهدهم راعون والذين هم بشهاداتهم قائمون والذين هم على صلاتهم يحافظون أولئك في جنات مكرمون فما للذين كفروا قبلك مهطعين عن اليمين وعن الشمال عزين أيطمع كل امرئ منهم أن يدخل جنة نعيم كلا إنا خلقناكم مما يعلمون فلا أقسم برب المشارق والمغارب إنا لقادرون على أن نبدل خيرا وما نحن بمسبوقين فذرهم يخوضوا ويلعبوا حتى يلاقوا يومهم الذي يوعدون يوم يخرجون من الأجداث سراعا كأنهم إلى نصب يوفضون خاشعة أبصارهم ترهقهم ذلة ذلك اليوم الذي كانوا يوعدون صدق الله العلي العظيم. صلوات. اللهم صل على محمد. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان اللعين الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، بارئ الخلائق أجمعين، بعث الأنبياء والمرسلين، والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا ونبينا وحبيب قلوبنا وطبيب نفوسنا وشفيع ذنوبنا أبي القاسم المصطفى محمد، وعلى أهل بيته الطيبين الطاهرين المعصومين المكرمين المنتجبين، لا سيما بقية الله في الأراضين، روحي وأرواح العالمين لتراب مقدمه الفداء، ولعنة الله على أعدائهم أجمعين إلى قيام يوم الدين. For the hastening the return of our Imam, let's recite the salawat. اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد وعجل فرجهم. One of the teachings that we have repeated in the Holy Quran in various ways is the general concept of the hereafter, the day of judgment, and afterwards, people being separated, yawmul fasl, the day of separation, the good and the bad will be separated, the bad going towards hell, being guided towards hell, and the good being guided towards paradise. And what will happen in hell, what will happen in paradise, at least part of that. That general idea being mentioned in the Holy Quran is something that's very obvious. Anyone who has picked up the Holy Quran, who reads it, can attest to that fact, that God mentions the hereafter in various ways many, many, many times. Although there are two ways that the hereafter is mentioned, one positive, one negative, two ways that the day of judgment is mentioned, one is positive, the other is negative. There seems to be an understanding regarding at least part of that process that assumes or understands the teachings in a way where part of that is inevitably and unescapably bad and worrisome. For instance, for some, the moment of death has been described in that way. For some, the grave has been described in that way. For some, the barzakh has been explained in that way, or they've understood it in that way. For some, the day of judgment has been understood in that way. I want to firstly clarify that the Holy Quran clearly describes to us that all of those stages for a muttaqi, someone who is cautious and careful in their deeds, to do and go by what God has said, they have succeeded in doing that over at least the later portion of their life, because a person may start off not doing that, but they may do tawbah. You have people that start off bad, at least a portion of their life, they do bad things, and then they change, and they come back. God has said, If you come back, then none of what you have done before that point counts. You have a fresh start. And so if a person does that and they continue being good in the last portion of their life, then and they are muttaqi in the last portion of their life, then that applies to them. God forbid if it's reversed, though. If a person seemed to be, because a muttaqi, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, if a person is a muttaqi, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will save them. Allah will guide them. There's plenty of verses. Sometimes it looks as though a person is a muttaqi. That's another speech, another discussion, another area that we need to get clarity. But if a person seems to be a muttaqi to themselves and to their surroundings, to the people around them, they seem to be a pious person, a muttaqi person, but that changes at any point in their life. And it doesn't change back. They change to a life of sin and carelessness regarding what God has said and believing in Him and so on and so forth. Then they don't fall in this category. A person whose last portion of their life leaving this world, they were a muttaqi. If they died as a muttaqi, then the Quran is very clear. The moment of death onwards is going to be great. It's going to be amazing. It's going to be a time of no worries, no fears, no regrets. No regrets of the past. And no fear of anything that will happen to them in the future. From that moment onwards, they are at peace. They're really at peace. The Quran makes this very clear. This needs to be clarified for us. Some of us have heard a lot of different speeches, read books, heard or raised. We were raised. I was one of those that was at least partially raised in different sessions, different people throughout my life before looking into and reading it myself. That death is very difficult. It was even said that for prophets it's very difficult. There's apparently some hadith that doesn't conform with the Quran, suggesting that death for even a prophet is a difficult process, painful, difficult, and it's something that a person wouldn't look forward to. The Quran says that believers look forward to it. Muttaqin look forward to it. If it's a painful, unpleasant thing, why would you look forward to it? There are those of us who've been raised with the notion that death is just bad, period. Or that the grave is a scary place, period. We read some of the du'as and some of the hadith, or we've heard different things, but in the du'as we do find look at Dua Abu Hamza, for instance. The Imam describes those scenes that I'm afraid, why should I not cry? أبكي لظلمة قبري. I cry for the darkness in my grave. I cry for this, I cry for that. Those are read and repeated, and good people keep repeating them. People who are not as good like myself, not as intelligent like myself, we read them and we think that this is how the grave is. No, that's not how the grave is for a muttaqi. The reason why the dua describes it in that way and says, I cry for that, is for a reason that we're about to discuss. It's not about the believers going through that. If you look at that dua all over it, we are looking at ourselves as sinners, as people who have not conformed with God's teachings, as people who have had shortcomings, remembering the times where I knew and I did wrong and so on and so forth. And that part of my life, when I remember it, that deserves those negative things, and I'm thinking of what that is going to lead me to. We'll get to it in a little bit. But those ahadith and those du'as are not in any way suggesting that for a muttaqi, the moment of death or the grave or barzakh or the day of judgment is just like anyone else, very scary, very dark. Verses of the Holy Quran talk about the day of the judgment at times. In Surah Hajj, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has a very scary description of it. People are walking as though they're drunk. You see them, everybody's just wandering about as though they're drunk. وَمَا هُمْ بِسُكَارَىٰ, but they're not. The punishment is very severe. These verses have been taken to mean that's just how the Day of Judgment is. Well, that's partial information of the Day of Judgment. That is looking at the Quran in a partial way. You have to add the other verses of the Holy Quran. إِنَّ الَّذِينَ قَالُوا رَبُّنَا اللَّهُ ثُمَّ اسْتَقَامُوا تَتَنَزَّلُ عَلَيْهِمُ الْمَلَائِكَ أَلَّا تَخَافُوا وَلَا تَحْزَنُوا. Those who have perseverance on the path of Allah, which other verses describe as muttaqin, and the verses we read, musallin, we'll get back to those verses that were read. There's another point we want to get to. That's the main point, but first we need to clear this up. That for the muttaqin, the Quran is very clear. There's verses that describe the moment of death for a believer, for a disbeliever. For a believer, it says, the malaika go towards them, and these believers see those angels, and the angels are welcoming them to the afterlife. It's the disbelievers, it's the mujrimeen, the non-muttaqeen, the fasiqeen, whose death is described in that way. The Day of Judgment as well. While those descriptions of the Day of Judgment are mentioned in that way, where in initially it may seem as though this is just how it is for everybody, then there are many verses that one way or another, like the one that I mentioned, which is a general thing, لا خوف عليهم ولا هم يحزنون, throughout the process. Even according to the correct understanding, some of the ulama have explained this, that when a person reaches that state of iman through taqwa, right here in this world, لا خوف عليهم ولا هم يحزنون begins. Let alone death and barzakh and qiyamah, and then paradise. لا خوف عليهم ولا هم يحزنون. So the first point as a preface to the discussion is for us to understand clearly that we strive to be muttaqin and mu'mineen. And if we strive to be muttaqin and mu'mineen, we should know that the end of al-aqibatu lil-muttaqin, the end for the muttaqin is great. The ending for the muttaqeen is pleasant entirely in ways that are not imaginable for us right now. Okay, that being one thing, it needs to be emphasized, we need to understand. Now, once we've understood that the Quran is very clear, and it's important for us to understand death and barzakh and the Day of Judgment in that way, and to realize that as a muttaqi, you look forward to it. We should look forward to it as a muttaqi. While that is the case, as we read in Surah Al-Ma'arij, those were verses from Surah Al-Ma'arij, it's very interesting how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala begins with, إِنَّ الْإِنسَانَ خُلِقَ هَلُوعًا إِذَا مَسَّهُ الشَّرُّ جَزُوعًا وَإِذَا مَسَّهُ الْخَيْرُ مَنُوعًا. A person is created in this way. People are, insan is created in a way where إِذَا مَسَّهُ other people, because then it says إِلَّا الْمُصَلِّينَ. Unless you are a musalli, the way you're created, you will be such. What? إِذَا مَسَّهُ شَرُّ جَزُوعًا. When shar, anything that's not pleasant, not good, anything like that comes to a person, jazua, start complaining, start getting all worked up, start getting all angry, not unpleasant, and saying things to people, saying things about the condition. Jaza is to, I guess the best word that I can right now think of closest to it is complaining. It's not the exact equivalent of the word jaza. It's, you know, a person who's in pain, there are people that can be patient with it, and there's people that just aren't patient. They shout, they do things, they express, they allow that anger or that hardship to reveal in whatever way. That's jaza. Okay. وَإِذَا شَرْ مَسَّهُ الْخَيْرُ مَنُوعًا. But then when khayr comes their way, good comes their way, money comes their way, a good job comes their way, a good house comes their way, manu'a, they keep everybody out. Oh, this is just for me. This is how a human being is, the way human beings are created. They will be such unless, إِلَّا الْمُصَلِّينَ, unless you're a musalli. If you choose the path of salah, which has been described, a person becomes a musalli, then they're not like this. But if you don't go down that path of salah and being a musalli, then the way you're created, you're going to be إِذَا مَسَّهُ الشَّرْ جَزُوعًا وَإِذَا مَسَّهُ الْخَيْرُ مَنُوعًا. That's exactly what we see. This culture, anywhere in the world, anywhere, even if it's called a Muslim country, the person is not a musalli, although they call themselves Muslim, you'll see them doing the same thing. When there's hardship, there's war for Islam, they're like always complaining about everything. And then as soon as something good comes their way, they're all protective of it, keep everybody out. Opportunities, steal those opportunities, keep them for themselves, not let anybody else have, and keep growing and growing, come to be these big capitalists, even though they're called Muslim, they're capitalists, not in the, in the very particular sense of the word. Anyone who's a materialist is a capitalist. Okay. That's how. Then the interesting thing here is it starts with salah. Illa al-musallin. Doesn't say illa al-muttaqin. The amud we have in hadith, it's those hadith conform with this. The amud of deen, what holds the deen up, what causes or has a person as a muttaqi, as a mu'min, all those good traits, the pillar of it, the central pivotal point is salah. Illa al-musallin. Then God describes who these musallin are. It's not just performing that prayer in its superficial form. Okay. A musalli is someone who is ala salatihim da'imun. For another time, we've discussed it before. They're constant, or they're always in prayer. Alladhina fi amwalihim, charity, they in their belongings, they consider there to be a right that belongs to, part of what I have belongs to, and I have to give to, lissa'ili wal mahrum, the person who is asking for assistance, and the person who is deprived even if they're not asking. Walladhina yusaddiquna biyawm al-deen. This is the part that I wanted to discuss tonight a little bit. Musallin are people that yusaddiquna biyawm al-deen. وَالَّذِينَ هُمْ مِنْ عَذَابِ رَبِّهِمْ مُشْفِقُونَ. And those who from, and in regards to the عذاب, the punishment of their Lord, they're fearful. Those du'as, those ahadith that describe that the negative part of qiyamah of death, those are reminders that it could be like that for us to be afraid of that. That's what the verse says. Muttaqin, their experience will be that it's all pleasant. However, when they're living their lives, Do they think that, oh, I'm good, nothing's going to, it's all going to be good, oh, well, give me the verses about huris and so on and so forth, I'm going to be having a great time and no issue whatsoever, and am I supposed to think that way? No, I'm supposed to be thinking, those muttaqin think this way. First of all, وَالَّذِينَ يُصَدِّقُونَ بِيَوْمِ الدِّينِ, they attest to, they confirm, they affirm the Day of Judgment, and they're afraid of the punishment of their Lord. They have fear of it. A muttaqi in his life, when they think of that, they read these verses about the Day of Judgment, that verse in Surah Al-Hajj, the dua of Imam Zain al-Abideen. They read these and they're afraid. They have that fear. That's part of their taqwa. That's part of what causes us to think twice about doing wrong. That's very important. While death onwards is great for a muttaqi, if a believer who seems to be a muttaqi focuses on that aspect and does not look at what's there for the punishments, does not look at any of that, then they'll start developing views like Banu Israel. This is what they did. They deviated. Banu Israel were told that فَضَّلْتُكُمْ عَلَى الْعَالَمِينَ, I've given you preference over the world, over others, basically. I've preferred you. I have given you these things and those things and so on and so forth. Those were said to say that now that this has been given to you, not others, you have responsibilities. And if you fulfill those responsibilities, that's all great. If you don't, punishment is awaiting you. Severe punishment. Because others didn't have what you had. This is what they were told. They focused on, نِفَضَّلْتُكُمْ عَلَى الْعَالَمِينَ, we prefer you. We're preferred people. We're great people. We're this, we're that. What happens is the mess that you see in the world right now, caused by Banu Israel, the non-believers of them, the disbelievers of them. But it applies to anyone, whether you're Bani Israel or not. Insan is created in that way. The human being of whatever, we're all the children of Adam. Whether you're lineage of Ibrahim or you're not, you're still the children of Adam. Ibrahim was a child of one of the offspring of Adam and Eve. We're all, everyone is insan. This is how it is, and this is how it works. God says a believer must keep looking at the punishments, the difficulties of death, read them, read the other part as well. Look forward to that with hope, hoping that God will take us there. Recognizing that without God's help, I'm not going to make it there. And looking at the punishment and seeing that I deserve this. Seeing that if Imam Zain al-Abideen sees that because he says it, if he sees it and therefore says it, we should definitely see it in ourselves and be afraid. Be afraid. That is part of taqwa. وَالَّذِينَ هُمْ مِنْ عَذَابِ رَبِّهِمْ مُشْفِقُونَ. The last point, so the central point that we wanted to cover in this weekly reminder was that while عذاب is not for everyone, death onwards, it's not a gloomy, dark, ugly, painful picture for everyone at the moment of death onwards, for muttaqin is actually great, better, everything becomes better, and all the bad and all the shar is gone the moment of death onwards. While that's the case, a muttaqi needs to remember the azab of Allah and to be afraid of it. That's what a lot of these du'as, that's what Du'a Kumail, weekly reminder we have from the Ahlul Bayt. We're recommended to read it Thursday nights, and it's become a custom that we do it every Thursday night as a group. Not everyone does it, and it doesn't need to be every week for everyone. It's not a bad thing to for a community to choose to do a du'a, any du'a. This is a good du'a. You read a lot in that du'a where we are seeing ourselves in punishment, deserving that punishment, in the hardship. All of that is to develop this spirit. وَالَّذِينَ هُمْ مِنْ عَذَابِ رَبِّهِمْ مُشْفِقُونَ. The last point that I want to briefly mention, but it's a little more fundamental than that, is sometimes it happens that a person looks at those verses of adab and looks at verses of describing paradise and the rewards in it. And it's all nice, and it's all like the stuff they see, you know, how it's very terrifying, the Day of Judgment and the descriptions and so on and so forth. But there's something else that's missing, something that this fear of the adab is based on. Without that, while a person can recognize how terrifying it is, they're not going to be afraid of it. You fear things that you know potentially can come your way. Something that's a danger for you, you can be afraid of. You're afraid of fire in this world because it's dangerous. When it's around, you cook your meal on it, but you're careful with it. You know if you get your hand too close, it's going to burn you. That danger is always in your mind. You use fire, you cook meals. On the stove, there's, well, if you're using gas stoves, that is, you're going to see some fire there, some flames. If you don't, then it's the heat. Either way, there's something that makes some pretty good food, but it's dangerous. Electricity serves us. We use it for air conditioning. We use it for so many different, but it's dangerous to work with. If anybody starts working with that, opening up outlets to fix things or whatever, they're going to be extra cautious because there's an imminent danger. There's something that's very serious, very real. They know it. A person who doesn't recognize that, even if they've heard all these things about electricity and so on, if they don't think it's a real danger for them, then they're going to be careless, and that's what's going to get them killed. People have gotten killed because they were careless. It's because they didn't really take the danger seriously. While the Quran is read, and we hear it in majalis, Du'a Kumail is read, we gaze upon the translation every now and then, we see what is said there. It's not something that we are careful, and therefore we don't see the result in our lives. We're not careful of our deeds. We're careless. Say this, do that. Wear hijab, not wear hijab. Doesn't matter. Eat haram. Don't eat halal. Either way, doesn't matter. Be with the opposite gender in whatever way. Have any relationship in any way. Those are extreme cases, of course. There's less extreme cases. Although Islam says some of the ones I'm about to mention are extreme, but in ways they're less extreme. In ways. The hadith need to be understood correctly. Oh, we don't care. We talk about this person. We develop suspicion. Su'ul-dhan towards believers. We don't care. We don't care. We read, we hear punishment and so on and so forth. What is the issue? What's that fundamental issue? Before saying, وَالَّذِينَ هُمْ مِنْ عَذَابِ رَبِّهِمْ مُشْفِقُونَ, we read, before saying that these musallin are people who are afraid of the عذاب of their Lord. It says, وَالَّذِينَ يُصَدِّقُونَ بِيَوْمِ الدِّينِ. They affirm, they believe, they consider true the day of judgment. They know it's right. They know it's going to happen. Look at all, again, the du'as and the ahadith insisting on and emphasizing on this idea in, I think it's Ziyarat al-Yasin that we have, that we testify that أَنَّ الْمَوْتَ حَقٌّ. Paradise, hell, these are haqq, these are truths. These are realities, these will definitely happen. Tasdiq, which means to consider something to be true. Somebody tells you something, you either accept it as a truth, or you just say, I don't know, I don't care. If you accept it as something that's true, and it's going to affect you, then you're going to take it very seriously. That's just how it is. How clear are we that the day of judgment is real? That's what causes us to be more or less careful. One of the things we need to do is to remind ourselves, look, this day-to-day routine that I have, going to work, coming home, resting, eating, having fun, seeing friends, seeing family, gatherings, this, that, the other, that we've sometimes experienced for 20 years, 30 years, 40 years, 50 years. This isn't it. This will end. And when it ends, life doesn't end. Existence doesn't end. Real life begins. And everything about that, and the adab, and the reward, all of that is true. Every bit of it. The more we're clear about that, as Amir al-Mu'mineen describes the Muttaqeen in the sermon of, known as the Sermon of Hammam, because he asked the question. He says, their relationship with paradise and hell is as though they're in it, as though they're seeing it. As though, for us, as though. There are some, according to the hadith from the Holy Prophet, there are some that are actually seeing it. But at least we can come to a point where it's crystal clear for us that this will happen. Crystal clear. We need to work on that. We need to work on that to develop that clarity further and further. And if we have more and more clarity in that regard, then our fear is going to become a lot more real. And that's going to have an effect on our behavior, on the way we treat each other, the way we fulfill our responsibilities towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and everything else. We hope that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guides us. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to forgive us and inshallah get us to a position where that description of the musallin is true in our case. بحق آل محمد وآل محمد. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to hasten the return of our imam. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make us his true and close companions. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to help us and help all those who are helping the cause of Islam, especially our ulama, our maraja, and more so our leader. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to forgive us all of our sins. We ask him to forgive our parents, our grandparents, our relatives, those who are alive, those who have left this world. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to grant all of us and all believers worldwide our hajat, our needs, our requests. Relieve all those who are suffering from hardships, difficulties, illnesses. Ya Allah, relieve all the people of the world of the pandemic. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to relieve the people of the world of all the oppressions they're facing. Bin Nabi wa Ali. Rahimallah man qara al-fatihata ma'as-salawat. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad.